Again, we are thankful for the presence of each and every one this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. And we hope that we have your attention for a few moments as we come to the portion of our service in which we open God's Word and we study a portion of it, consider its meaning and its application to our lives today. Mankind, we are very complex beings. And attention has to be given to different areas of our lives in order for us to function normally and to achieve our fullest potential. These different areas of our lives in which we are to focus and in which we are to grow and develop are mentioned by Luke when he is talking about young Jesus at the age of 12 as he was growing and maturing. We don't know anything about the life of Jesus from the age of 12 to the age of 30. All we have is this passage that fills the gap, that talks about his growth and his development. Luke says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men." And just like young Jesus, all of us develop intellectually and physically, spiritually and socially. That is, we grow in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and favor with men. Now, it's this time of the year that we often make resolutions. We resolve to make some changes and to make improvements in our lives. As a matter of fact, this is the 5th of January. I'm sure many of us have broken a good number of our resolutions already. I know that I have. But we make these resolutions, we make these determinations that we're going to improve in different areas of our lives. We want to improve physically, and so we're going to exercise, or we're going to diet, or some other hateful thing like that. We are going to read more and help our mind and our intellect, and maybe we are going to make more friends, or we're going to open ourselves up a little bit more, to interact with other people socially. What I'm asking this morning, have you considered your spiritual life in the year that lies ahead? Have you considered any improvements that need to be made in your spiritual life? I want you to know that God wants very much to be involved in your life. God knows you. He loves you, and he wants to be involved in your life. I'm going to put some verses up on these slides. Most of the verses we're going to look at today I have up on the slide. Some of them I don't, and I'll encourage you to open your Bible and turn to them yourself. But very quickly, I'd like to look at a few verses here that show us beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wants to be involved in your life and in my life today. Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24. God asked, "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" And that's true. Our God is so big and so great, he fills the entire universe. But we should not have the concept of God that he's way off somewhere and we have no hope of ever getting to him. Because while God fills the earth, at the same time, he's very near to you. As a matter of fact, he's so near that you can reach for him and find him. In the book of Acts at chapter 17, when the Apostle Paul is preaching, he says, "So that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." You know, God has been with you every step of your life up to this point. He's been there providing you with everything that you need to live. Everything that you need to function, everything that you need to reach your full potential. But yet, at the same time, he is separate from you. Each of us have the individual responsibility to desire that relationship with God and to reach out, to grope for Him, to search for Him, to feel for Him, knowing that He is not far from each one of us. God wants to be involved in your life. Another way that the Lord put it in John chapter 14, verse 23, a very beautiful, a very welcome picture here. He says, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Now, tuck that phrase away. Tuck it away. We're going to come back to it in a few moments. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. God wants to make his home with you. That's where he wants to dwell. That's where he wants to be with you. But the problem is that unless we have invited him in, he's on the outside. When Jesus writes to the church in Laodicea, he says in Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." See, Jesus wants very much to be in our lives. God wants very much to be in your life. He may very well be standing and knocking at the door of your heart. Here's the thing. The door of your heart only opens from the inside. God cannot force his way into your life. You have to open that door from the inside and allow God in. He wants in. He wants to come in, make his home with you, as Jesus says here, to dine with you. And in that time, that was a sign of the sharing together of something that was very special, to share a meal with someone. And that's what the Lord wants with you. Will you let him in? How do we let God into our life? How do you let God into your life? That's what I want to talk about. We've already established the fact that he wants to be in your life. He wants to be involved in your life. He's knocking and he wants to be let in. He's not going to force his way into your life. So how do you let God into your life? Let's consider some very simple things that you and I can start doing right now today that will allow God to play the role in our lives that he wants to play, so that we can find fulfillment. We can find our full potential in the reason that God created us. Think about this for just a moment. Why were you and I created? For what reason, for what purpose were we created? And I heard a preacher, used to preach here a few years ago, Ron Halbrook. I heard him make this point so very well, so I'll give him credit for it. God created birds to fly in the air. And when birds are flying, they're fulfilling the purpose for which they were created. God created fish to swim in the water. And when they swim, they're fulfilling the purpose for which they were created. Why were you created? You and I were created uniquely to have fellowship with God. We were made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And it's there, having fellowship with God, that you and I are fulfilling the purpose for which we were created. That's where we will find happiness. That's where we will find meaning. That's where we'll find fulfillment, is in fellowship with God. Well, how do we open the door for that? How do we allow that fellowship to happen? How do we let God in? First, the first simple thing that we need to do is we need to listen to God. You need to listen to God. I want you to know that God has spoken to you. God has revealed himself to you already. Not in some miraculous, sensational, larger-than-life way. There have been a number of occasions where I've met individuals and they found out that I'm a preacher and they want to tell me about the experience that they had, where they saw the stars rearranged into a message and they knew God was speaking to them, or they saw a stranger And then a voice told him that that was Jesus Christ. I'm not kidding you. I've had those conversations with people. That's not what I'm talking about when I tell you that God has spoken to you, that God has revealed himself unto you. What I'm talking about is his word. God has already spoken to you. God has already revealed everything about himself that he is going to reveal to you in his word. You need to listen. You need to hear him. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. What that means is all of God's word, everything from Genesis to Revelation, is given by inspiration of God. That means it came from God's mouth. It didn't come from men. They didn't just think this up and write it down. No, they were guided by God as they wrote these things down. So the Bible is God's will and God's word revealed unto us. It's profitable. You're going to profit. Any time that you spend reading the word of God is going to be profitable to you. You'll benefit from it. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As you read the Bible, you'll learn more and more about God and his will for your life. You don't have to rely upon what you feel or what you think or what other people have told you. You can go to the book and you can find the answers for yourself. And what a great blessing that is. But I want to tell you that there's no substitute for it. There's no substitute for Bible reading. There's no substitute for dieting. How many pills have been sold promising that it takes the place of us withholding ourselves and denying ourselves of fatty foods and sweet foods? There's no substitute for dieting. There's no substitute for exercise. Your doctor can run the test and he can know whether you've been exercising or not. There's no substitute for it. I want to tell you, there's no substitute for time spent in the Word of God. You want to let God in? Listen to him. Listen to what he has to say. But you need to take that to the next step, to the next level. Not only do you need to listen to him, but if you want to let God in your life, and if you want to allow God to play the role in his life, in your life that he wants to play, you've got to learn to trust him. Not just to listen to him, you've got to learn to trust him. The Bible says that we walk by faith. That's stated first in the book of Habakkuk, and it's repeated three times in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And where does faith come from? Romans 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the time that we spend listening to God, the time that we spend in his word, is going to help to strengthen our faith. Part of allowing God to play this role in our life is learning to trust in him. I want to suggest something to you. Not only do we need to believe in God, you need to believe in God. You need to believe that he exists. But you also need to believe God. And there's a difference. You need to believe that he exists, but to believe God means you believe what he says. You trust what he says. In Psalm 119 and at verse 160, it says, the entirety of your word is truth. As we said, every word from Genesis to Revelation has come from the mouth of God, and every word is truth. You can trust it. Whatever the Bible says about something, that settles it. And how easy that is. How refreshingly simple that is, that God's word settles it, but you've got to learn to trust him. You've got to learn to trust his care and his provision for you. You've got to learn to trust his promises. A very familiar passage of scripture to us is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. That is, believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We've got to believe He exists and we've got to trust Him to keep His promises. We've got to trust Him to keep His word. So you need to let God into your life. But in order to do that to its fullness, you've got to listen to God and you've got to learn to trust God. Learn to trust what He says to you through His word. But not only do we need to listen to God, but to develop a relationship with anyone requires communication. It requires sending and receiving the communication. Now, when we read the Bible, God is communicating with us. We must be willing not only to listen to Him, but we must also be willing in turn to communicate with Him and to talk with Him. And of course, here I'm talking about prayer. If you want to let God into your life, you need to pray unto God. You need to be in the habit of praying unto God. And prayer is just like anything else. It's not something we should take for granted. It's something that we have to learn how to do. We have to learn how to pray. We have to learn how to talk to God. Here's something I want you to know, is that God invites you to pray to Him. God welcomes you to approach Him in prayer, to come to Him in prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." God is never burdened with your prayers. Have you ever had that idea before? I've talked to people who had that idea before that they don't want to bother God. You're not going to bother God. He's going to be up all night. You can talk to Him all night. He's alert all during the day. You can talk to Him all during the day. You're not going to wear out God. You're not going to burden Him. As a matter of fact, He wants to hear from you. And in communicating with God, in listening to what God has to say to you and trusting it, and then in turn communicating back with God through prayer, we are building a relationship with God. You're building a relationship with Him. He wants to hear your thoughts. He wants to know what is worrying you, what is troubling you. He wants to hear your thanksgiving. He wants to hear the supplications that you would make for friends and family members who are hurting and who are in need. I thought God already knows all that. Yes, God already knows all that, but He wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear it from you. So spend that time with God in prayer. It's in prayer that we draw close to God, that we see our need for God. So set aside some time. Set aside some time to exercise yourself spiritually. It takes time to exercise physically. It takes time to read a book and to grow our vocabulary or our knowledge of history or whatever it is. It takes time. Well, it takes time to let God in your life too. So set aside some time every day that you're going to read a portion of God's Word and you're going to pray unto Him. Set aside that time every day. I've read, and maybe you have as well, that it usually takes 22 days to create a new habit. 22 days. We've got 365 days this year. Can you give 22 days to reading the Bible and praying and see if that doesn't stick? Spend some time. Spend some time reading your Bible. Spend some time talking to God and praying unto God. That's how you open that door and let God into your life. But there's more than just that. I would also suggest that you get in the habit of worshiping God. that you come and you join us here from week to week and in our midweek services as we worship God. God has always called upon man to worship Him. God has always called upon man to offer worship unto Him. And it's not because God needs worship. It's not because He needs it somehow and He's going to shrink and die if we don't worship Him. God doesn't need anything from us. And it's not because His ego is so big that we've got to worship Him or He's going to get angry and smite us. No. The reason God calls upon us to worship Him is because we need to worship Him. It's to our benefit that we worship God. It's in times of worship like this right here, right now, that we are drawn into God's presence in a special way and that we are made aware of the things that make God uniquely worthy of our worship. It's in times like this that we're made aware of His great love for us, that He sent His Son to come and to die for you and for me, that we're made aware of His mercy and His faithfulness, of His power and His wisdom. You want to draw closer unto God? You want to come to appreciate more who God is? Worship Him. But not just any worship will do. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Not just any worship will do. Not just any worship will do. It's true worship that God is looking for. It's true worship that God will receive, and it's true worship that God will honor. And it's true worship that will help you and I to draw closer to God and to allow Him to play the role in our life that He wants to play. God is searching for true worshipers. What's a true worshiper? One who worships Him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Well, very, very simply, to worship God in spirit means that we are attentive when we're doing it. It means that God has our attention, that as we are worshiping Him, our mind isn't off somewhere else thinking about this or that or nothing, you know, running a static pattern for an hour. No, we have our attention focused upon God. And to worship God in truth means that we do it the way He wants it done. We do it the way He's told us in His Word. In John 17:17, Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Remember, every word of God is true. And so the Word of God tells us how we are to worship. And that's how we need to worship. And if you want to grow, and if you want God to play a role in your life, do not neglect worship. You need to worship Him. But also, you need to follow Him. You need to follow Him. It's not enough for us to believe in God. It's not enough for us to hear Him and to trust Him, to talk to Him and to worship Him. We must obey Him. We had a verse up here as we started out where Jesus talked about He and His Father coming and making their home with someone. And Jesus says, "Whoever loves Me, He will keep My word." Remember that? He will keep My word. That's what you and I have to do if we're going to allow God to come into our lives and to play the role in our life that He wants to play. We have to follow Him. And the way we follow Him is by keeping His word. Now turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I want to read some sections of this chapter that are too long to put up here on these slides. I've put a couple of the verses here. But John chapter 1 at verse 35, John the Baptist is here. John the Baptist is here with some of his disciples, and it's time for him to turn his disciples over to Jesus, or at least these ones he's talking with here. So in John chapter 1, verse 35, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." So he's with his disciples, he sees Jesus, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the way I picture this is almost as if John is behind his disciples saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." Pushing them in that direction. That's where you need to go now. Behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say when translated, "Teacher, where are you staying?" I don't think they're wanting to get an address down. I believe what they're wanting to know where he's going to be so they can be there too. Where are you? Where are you going to be? Where can we go to spend time with you? And look at what Jesus says to them. Come and see. Jesus didn't say, "You know what, I'm too busy. I don't have time for you. I don't have room for you." Here are some individuals who sincerely want to know Jesus, and Jesus says, "Come and see." And Jesus says the same thing to you this morning. Jesus invites whosoever is weary and heavy laden, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus invites us to come to Him. But the way we come unto Christ and the way we follow Him is by learning His will and doing it. We follow Jesus today not by picking up and walking around Galilee with Him. We follow Jesus today by following His teaching. Remember, whoever keeps my word. So I would encourage you to adopt a new way to approach life. Instead of living by the principle of what do I think I ought to do in this situation, whatever the day brings you, instead approach it like this. How would Jesus have me react to this situation? What would Jesus have me to do? And remember, we don't have to wonder about that. We can go to the Bible and we can learn just exactly how the Lord would have us to handle every situation we find ourselves in. That's why it profits us to read all Scripture, so we know how it works in our lives today. So we need to follow Him. There's one more thing I'll suggest to you. That to let God into your life and to reach the full potential of what God wants to accomplish and to do in your life, not only do you need to follow Him, but you also need to share Him. You need to share Him with others. Reading on here in John chapter 1, verse 39, remember Jesus says to them, "Come and see." And they follow Him to that place and they spend the rest of the day there with Him. Could you imagine spending the day with Jesus? But they have. And here's the first time they've met Him. They spent this day with Him. Now look at verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. First thing he did when he found the Lord is he went and he found someone that he knew who would want to find him too. He shared him. And then you read down in verse 43, the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." See, there's that invitation that Jesus extends to all of us, to you this morning. Follow me. And so Philip has received this great invitation. It says, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, we need to understand what Nathaniel is saying here. I imagine that in every area, during every time, there have been places that have been notorious for, you know, nothing good comes out of there. Nothing good comes out of there. Like Jeff, like Michigan, right? Yeah. What good can come out of there? Well, Marvin knows what good can come out of Michigan, and we don't need to be divided. But you get the point. You get the point. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. How does Philip handle that? Come and see. Come and see. He doesn't argue with him. Doesn't set out to try to prove him wrong. He just repeats the words that he's already heard from the Lord. Come and see. Sometimes we need help making changes in our lives, don't we? Isn't it much easier to diet if somebody else is doing it with you? It is, isn't it? That way you get that craving and you can call up your friend and you can say, I want cake. And they say, yeah, I'd like a piece of cake. No, I want cake. And you've got a friend who can talk you down from that. You know, we're going to stick with this. It's a little bit easier, right? 5 o'clock in the morning, there's ice out on the windshield. I don't want to go work out right now. And if it's just me, I'm not going to. But if I've got a buddy who's meeting me there, yeah, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get out and I'm going to go do it. Oftentimes, the best way that we can grow spiritually is when we're helping someone else to grow spiritually too. So serve the Lord. The way God has designed this, you don't have to do it on your own. There's a room full of people here. A room full of people here who are doing it to the best of their ability. And you're welcome to join. So you want to grow spiritually. Part of growing spiritually is helping others to do the same. Hey, Christian, you want to take your spirituality to a new level? Start evangelizing. Start sharing your faith with other people. That'll take it to a new level. But that's how we let the Lord into our lives. A new year gives us a new beginning. A clean slate. I don't know about you, but I need that. I need that starting over. I need that opportunity to make important and needed changes in my life. I want you to know that the Knollwood Church of Christ is not in a position to provide an opportunity for you to develop and improve physically or intellectually. That's just not a part of the work that God has given the church to do. So we can't help in those areas as a church. We can help you to develop socially because, I don't know if you noticed before services started, we like to talk here. We love to socialize here. So we can help you with that. But what we're really interested in is helping you to grow spiritually. That's what matters to us. You can find these other needs taken care of in other places. But I'm wondering this morning if you're interested in growing spiritually. Have you considered your spiritual needs? Have you thought about the role that God wants to play in your life? That's the challenge that I'm setting before you this morning. And I want to remind you that the door of your heart has to open from the inside. You have to choose to let God in. But how do you do it? Listen to Him. Trust Him. Talk to Him in prayer. Worship Him. Follow His Word. And share Him with others. We would be happy. We would be privileged to have the opportunity to help you to do that this morning. To help you to open up that door and to let God into your life and to let Him do for you what He's done for so many of us. To help us to give our life purpose and meaning and direction and grace and peace. That's available to you if you would open that door. If you would let us know, if you would let us know that that's what you want and you want to learn more about that, would you please let us know that? Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, and you already know what you need to do, right now would be the perfect time for you to step forward and make your confession and allow us to baptize you in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe you've done that in the past, but you realize listening right now this morning that you never really have opened up that door and let God in. And you realize that you need to do that. Then you need to do it. You need to do it. You need to repent of the time that you've spent as a Christian that you haven't been allowing God in. And you need to open that door and let Him in. Whatever your spiritual need is, you're among friends. Would you please let that need be made known by coming forward, giving me your hand and the Lord your heart. Come as we stand and sing this song together.